You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, shining, sharpshooting Sherlocks. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 20. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your almost alluring alliance of alliterating alpacas.
We're alpacas.
We're almost alluring.
We're almost alluring alpacas.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. I suppose it could have been an alpaca.
Genetics.
If your mother had fallen in love with an alpaca instead of your father, things would have been different.
The wheel of fate.
I'm 1/32nd alpaca. Based on my family lore.
That counts.
I challenge you to prove otherwise.
That counts if you have the right paperwork.
That's right. So I would like to thank one of our listeners who let us know that I actually got something wrong because I misspoke when I was talking about the original development of heroin. I said that they were looking for a replacement for methadone. That, of course, is incorrect. They were looking for a replacement for morphine.
Yeah. Morphine.
Yes. Morphine. Yes. Methadone is the drug used to get people off of heroin and is, in fact, less addictive. Right.
Fun fact, it also begins with the letter M.
And has to do with heroin, yes. So, actually, I was wrong.
Drug knowledge is not really your forte, I guess.
I mean, unless the drug is delicious Cabernet Sauvignon.
Relatedly, on Facebook, Mike Robertson asked us, what's your favorite bit of trivia? Like, what's your forte?
I'd say that I contribute to current events and various sort of bizarre political things when nobody else has that answer to hand.
Favorite subject. I mean, I like movies. People who listen to the show know I love movies and Academy Awards. I like sports. I like etymology. I love like anything with word origin.
Oh, sure,
I love trying to figure out trivia questions based on the word roots. Yeah, very nerdy.
I myself, it's different because there are things that I like, but I'm not good at, and there are things that I just happen to be good at. And for me, it's definitely geography, world flags, recognizing all the patterns and stuff like that.
You say that, but your actual strength is in recognizing photographs of celebrities.
I would say me and Dana are pretty equal on that.
Mm-hmm. Right? I read a lot of celebrity gossip
books. Yeah. You guys will frequently identify somebody, and even after you tell me the person's name, I still don't even know who she is. Yeah. So, all right, I trust you.
Yeah, so celebrity gossip is a good one. It makes me feel like I'm spending this time for something. It's an investment in the future.
You're being productive.
Right. I think pop music is a strength.
You're really good at literature, too, actually.
And history, I feel like. I feel like you get a lot of the presidential questions.
It's always because it's like there's some like gossipy, scandally aspect to it. It's like, oh, yeah, they did this terrible thing.
Well, speaking of pub trivia, I do want to take this moment to complain about...
to air some laundry.
Yep. Airing grievances. Recently, one of the questions we got from pub trivia, what does Siri stand for? Siri is an abbreviation for what? And we actually pulled it out of our butt and got it right.
We reasoned out what he was looking for, at least. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which we put was...
Speech interpretation
recognition interface.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Well, you didn't know that. Because it is not an abbreviation.
You know,
it has been explicitly stated that it is not speech interpretation and recognition interface. Siri is just a name.
I had a feeling that was wrong because I found it hard to believe that out of the three of us, and we have so many Apple products and pay so much attention that none of us would know that seemed unlikely.
So I was not there. What actually happened? You wrote down speech interpretation.
We got it right.
And we got it right.
You got it correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But all of us were kind of looking at each other like, I've never heard that before. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, well.
Yeah, and I looked it up, and it was a lot of people were like, that's what people believe to be, but it is not. Siri, in reality, the guy who made Siri wanted to name his daughter Siri, which is a name that means a beauty or something very nice in Norwegian. But instead, his baby turned out to be a son, so he couldn't name it Siri, so he named this project Siri.
Right.
It could be one of those things where they call a backronym, where they assign a meaning to a thing that might be an acronym, but it is not. So if you're at pub trivia and someone asks you that question, the answer they're looking for is speech interpretation and recognition interface, but that is not true.
But, you know, you bring up a good point, though. We find ourselves at pub quiz a lot where it's not always, do you know the right answer? It's what is the answer that the quiz master is looking for?
Yep.
Even if he or she is wrong, you're like, all right, swallow your pride. I know this is wrong, but this is what they want us to put.
Right. Yeah,
and relatedly, I also found out the distress signal SOS, because I was looking at abbreviations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does SOS stand for?
It does
nothing.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good example, though, where a common back formation is save our ship
save
or
our
save
ship.
Our souls.
Yes,
is another
exactly.
one. Right?
No, it just means...
It was just chosen because it's symmetrical to produce, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all. Yeah, it's easy for people to remember who don't know Morse code, also.
Right.
I did not know
right.
that.
Because, right, those are I believe, the two letters that are only dots
it's
or dashes.
Only dots or dashes. It's oh, man. It's dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, 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 right?
Or the inverse.
Inverse.
Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot.
Correct.
Yes, okay, sorry.
So it was chosen for the formation rather than for the actual backronym,
exactly.
I guess. And also, I have a weird headline that I came across recently, and I'm just gonna read out this sentence.
Okay.
So researchers from University of Virginia have discovered that a bite from a certain variety of tick called the Lone Star tick, could make you allergic to red meat.
Huh.
I hope that doesn't happen to me.
I hope that doesn't happen to me either.
How is that evolutionarily advantageous?
So, this tick, and it looks kind of cute.
By tick standards.
It's very distinctive. It has like a cute little white dot on its back, and their saliva carries an antibody that causes the immune system to go crazy and overreact in the presence of sugars found in red meat.
Wow.
Huh. Leading to an allergic reaction. Obviously, you know, different people have different immunity towards different things. So the allergic reaction graphically shows up as an itchy, burning, hivey sensation all over your body.
Oh.
No thanks.
Why did you tell people about this? Now PETA is going to be putting like buckets of these in McDonald's parking
lot. No!
What?
Oh, that's horrible. So keep an eye out for the Lone Star tick. So this is episode 20, and for every 5 episodes, we would want to do an all quiz bonanza. So this is all quiz bonanza number 4.
Woo!
We each prepare our own quiz segments to try to stump each other. And before we start off our own quiz segments, it is time for our general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. And I got my random Trivial Pursuit card. And I'm at a point where I'm kind of having trouble finding the right cards. Some of these questions are either too biased towards American culture, some of them are too easy, and some of them have pictures on it. It's really tough. Trivia Pursuit, get your act together. All right, so here we go. Get your buzzers ready. Blue Wedge for geography. What country hosted and won the first World Cup in soccer? Ooh, that's a good one.
I think this is it Uruguay?
Correct. Whoa. Wow. Pink Wedge for pop culture. What TV series featured an FBI agent named Dale Cooper who loved cherry pie?
Is this Twin Peaks?
Yes! Yes, finally! Twin Peaks! Finally! Yellow Wedge. What mark did the Dow Jones surpass for the first time in March 1999?
I believe it was 10,000?
Correct! Alright, Purple Wedge. Spalding Gray's one-man play, Swimming to Cambodia, was inspired by his experiences filming what 1984 Oscar-nominated drama?
Oh.
I have no idea what any of those words mean together.
I have a guess. Is it The Killing Fields?
Correct!
Excellent.
Good job,
wow.
Brain!
Good
yeah.
job.
Green Wedge for Science. What constellation consists of Ursa Major's 7 brightest stars?
Oh, I'm guessing. Oh. Is it the Big Dipper?
Correct.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, man. I got stuck on, like, thinking signs of the zodiac for some reason. Yeah.
Okay, and last question, Orange Wedge. Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction, we remember that, during halftime of the 2004 Super Bowl was unforgettable. But what two teams were playing?
Oh, man. I believe one of them were the Patriots, I think.
What was the other team?
Jeez.
The Carolina Panthers.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
Panthers, right. Patriots. And
the Pasties?
Pasties. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good
Panthers,
mnemonic.
Patriots, Pasties.
All quiz bonanza number four. Here we go. Who's up first? Chris?
I will go first. I would like to say that I prepare these quiz segments in an attempt to make you all feel smart.
Okay. Thank you. I think Karen does it in the spirit of crushing us.
I have named this quiz for you people. It is called Bookkeeper's Delight. In the English language, there are very few words that have consecutive pairs of double letters. Mm-hmm. And so the answer to each of these questions is going to be a word that has in it pairs of double letters that actually occur consecutively. They are mashed up right against each other.
Love it.
So therefore, if I were to say thieving animal, you would answer raccoon. We'll start off easy and we'll get maybe a little bit more difficult. I don't know how difficult it's going to get, but okay, here we go. Double-reeded woodwind.
Oh.
Colin.
Bassoon.
Yes. Energizing beverage.
Oh.
Colin.
Coffee.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Worm skewer.
Worm skewer.
Hook.
Worm skewer.
Karen.
Fish hook.
Fish hook.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Method of air travel. Karen. Oh.
Balloon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Personal artwork. Colin.
Tattoo.
Yes.
Oh.
Group of decision makers. Dana.
Committee.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Saliva holder. Dana.
A spittoon.
Yes.
I like the implication that it's like holding it temporarily. Yeah.
Just what's in my mouth?
Saving it for later.
I just keep my saliva there.
Chewy candy.
Karen. Oh, no. I was going to say Laffy Taffy. No.
No.
Oh. Toffee.
Toffee.
Oh,
yes.
Toffee.
Can also be
good.
Brittle,
that's
but
good.
Yes.
That's good.
And finally, one who receives a gratuity. Colin.
Tippy.
Indeed.
Nice. That's such a crossword puzzle construction.
In fact,
you have to read it with a question mark at the end.
Right.
Those are actually really good crossword clues. Yeah. Oh.
And it was you called it Bookkeeper's Delight
bookkeeper's
because bookkeeper
is,
the word that has three consecutive double letters.
Indeed it does, yes.
Encyclopedia Brown had that as the solution.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bookkeeping, yes.
I loved Encyclopedia Brown.
Some hyphenate words that you'll find in the dictionary can also have three consecutive pairs of double letters, such as sweet tooth. If you count that as one word, because
no, we're
it's a
purists.
Hyphenate. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes.
Very good.
Nice.
That was good. We've been talking before about like the sports questions in trivia, and it's always hard because like a lot of trivia nerds don't really like sports. I think just because it seems so esoteric. So I tried to put together a sports.
You're our only sports person,
which is sad. I do feel like I have a pretty good wide range of sports knowledge, but I find it funny that I'm the sports guy on our team.
You right. are the
no,
right.
you're good. You're
very good.
So I've tried to put together a sports quiz for non-sports nuts. Father, it had such hopes for a son who would take the ropes and fulfill all his old athletic aspirations. But apparently now there's some complications. But while I am lying... So you don't need to know who played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Hopefully a lot of these you can guess, or if not, they're just good trivia questions.
Okay.
All right, get your buzzers ready. Here we go. Which is larger, a regulation golf ball or a regulation ping pong ball?
Oh, they all almost the same size. Larger in terms of volume.
Diameter. Outer diameter. Chris.
Regulation golf ball.
You are correct. Okay, regulation right. golf ball. They're very close, though. Mm-hmm. A ping pong ball is 40 millimeter diameter. And I did not know this. I learned this. A golf ball has a minimum diameter, but it can be larger. But the minimum is 43 millimeters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Within 10%. Yes,
yeah, they have big old golf balls that you can use if you want to.
Yeah,
if you're, like,
I didn't know that. Yeah,
whatever,
you can't go below.
They're street legal. Yeah.
Street legal. Right. They have ground effects. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of golf, I'm sure you guys are at least heard of Tiger Woods.
Heard of golf? Sure.
You have at least heard of Tiger Woods. All right.
Never. No.
What is Tiger Woods' real name?
That's not his real name?
That is not his real
name.
Oh. He's had the nickname almost all his life, but it is not his given name. Chris?
Irvin Johnson.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's Magic Johnson, yeah. I guess. It does start with an E. It's Eldrick.
Oh,
I was
going to
say Eldridge. I was Eldrick. Like,
where is Eldrick? Eldrick Taunt, T-O-N-T, Woods.
Okay.
And apparently his mother invented the name Eldrick.
Invented?
Oh, she invented
She coined it. Well, it starts with an E and ends with a K. Huh. And his father's name starts with an E, Earl, and her name, Coltita, starts with a K.
Got it. Oh,
okay.
Eldrick Tiger Woods. This Academy Award-winning American actress discovered a love for archery in 1997, and just 2 years later was a semifinalist for the 2000 Olympic archery team.
Oh, I heard
this. Dana.
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
Really?
She is just a savant in something.
She's apparent. In Mensa, too.
Yeah, she is also in Mensa. Yeah, so she
picked
up archery in 1997. She was 24th in qualifying. She did not make the team. She was a semifinalist.
But still.
Amazing to go in 2 years to be a world-caliber archer.
I wonder how she stumbled upon the sport.
It
seems really random.
Yeah, well, hopefully she's listening, and you know she can.
You go, Gina.
Yeah.
All right, so here a couple of Olympics questions here, so but okay. Hopefully nothing too crazy. What is the longest single piece of equipment used in any current Olympic event? Now let me just clarify, by equipment I mean something that is used by an athlete or a team. So tennis racket would count, but I'm not saying the net, you know, or the dividers in the swimming pool.
Oh, okay. Not
so something that,
the rail they
use
in
right. Nothing that's part of the court or the markings. It's something that is used by an athlete or a team to compete in his or their events.
The fancy magic ribbon.
Excellent guess. Excellent guess. Not correct.
Oh!
That's it.
It is...
Chris, again.
Is it the pole vault?
Also an excellent guess. I think that's what most people would guess.
That's I eliminated that because that would be the easy answer. So I went to the fancy magic ribbon.
It is actually the boats used in rowing. The shells and the skulls, as they're called, S-C-U-L-S. Huh. The 8-person skull can be 65 feet long.
Wow.
But it is so funny you say the ribbon. When I was doing some research into this, I had no idea. So the average pole vault at the upper limit is about 17 feet. Mm-hmm. The ribbon on the floor gymnastics routine has a minimum length of 20 feet.
So it can go longer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So good call on the second place there. But it's the rowing boats. And even the shorter rowing boats are longer than the pole vault.
I like how you call it the fancy magic ribbon. Like, that's your official title.
I'm sure it has a scientific name.
Another Olympic one. Princess Anne of the UK competed in the 1976 Summer Olympics. She was on the equestrian team. So she was actually the only member of the British royal family ever to compete in the Olympics. She was afforded a privilege that no other competitor received. What was her special treatment? Chris.
Slave.
she did not, in fact, receive a personal. Yes. Karen.
Did she bring her own horse?
I believe they all ride their own horses.
Okay.
She rode the queen's horse, in fact. It's just a side little bit of trivia. But no, that is not it.
They bowed down to her?
Also a good guess, but no. This is a good one. She was the only female competitor in the Olympics who did not have to submit to a gender verification test.
Really?
Yes, that's right. Out of respect for the crown and the dignity for a princess. But
it would expose some royal secrets.
So they no longer openly anyway do gender verification. They stopped it over a decade ago. But at the time it was routine, you know. Mm-hmm. Essentially they didn't
What
want...
would you do? Go into a tent and just pull your pants down?
Yeah. More or less. And if they needed a higher level verification, they could do chromosomal analysis, but it was basically a way of making sure that men weren't pretending to be women and you know, quote, earning easier medals that way. So she was the only female competitor that year who did not have to take a sex test.
Interesting.
So they don't openly do those tests anymore. But they still have to test it somehow,
they do
right?
Blood tests, yeah.
I don't believe, no. So the IOC officially stopped it as a practice in 1999. Mm. Now, I mean, without getting too in-depth, there have been some cases of some of the country committees doing it, but they're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, it's very controversial. This sports game has been ranked the single best-selling video game of all time, with approximately 80 million units sold. Karen.
Madden.
That is the best franchise, correct? Oh, overall, over all the years. Single game, a single game edition. And I know Chris is itching to buzz in. Chris.
It was packed in with the best-selling Wii, and it was Wii Sports.
It is Wii Sports. Yes, yeah. All right, final question here. And this one was just kind of for fun. So I just went and saw Brave recently. And, you know, in some of the scenes, they have some of the Scottish Highland games going on in the background.
Yes.
So you guys are familiar with the caber toss?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so they got the giant log, and they're tossing it. Okay. Do you guys know what the point of the caber toss is? Do you know how you're scored? I had always assumed it was, well, whoever throws it the farthest or the highest. That's not the goal of the caber toss.
Okay.
So if you know this, I'll be very impressed.
I used to play an old-timey video game called World Games.
Uh-huh.
And it was in one of it was like a knockoff Olympics game, and they had caber tosses.
Okay.
It was really random. It was like kind of...
They're like, we had to fill up one more game here. What can we put in there?
What was it?
Chris...
Are you trying to get it to stand on end?
Not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. What it is you're trying to flip it over.
Not make it roll.
You're not trying to make it roll. You're trying to flip it over once and have it land pointing perfectly straight away from you.
Oh.
So the goal is, like, if you're looking like a clock face, if you're at the middle, you want that thing landing at 12 o'clock with the top end pointing perfectly away from
you. The end that was in your hand.
That's right. And then they're graded basically on angle. So like a 90-degree angle will beat an 85-degree angle, regardless of distance, regardless of height.
So it's actually a game of finesse.
It is, yeah. I mean, strength to begin with.
Well, also true, but yes.
I had no idea there was so much nuance to it. So now when, you know, the caber-tossing championships come on TV, I'm TiVoing that.
Yeah, I will. Now it makes a lot of sense.
The whole time I'm like, oh, they're going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wincing
the
whole time.
Yeah, like they're going to themselves a hernia, like, you know, trying to throw this
thing. That's even harder, because then you have to introduce another axis of movement to make it face you.
And they have a bunch of, like, tiebreakers, like if no one flips it over and things like that. So that was it. So hopefully you guys learned some interesting stuff. Sports trivia for non-sports fans.
Very good. Okay, time for my quiz. There is a theme, but I'm going to tell you guys the theme at the very end as a two-parter.
Whoa, okay. Next day we'll be on our way, but tonight we're going to rock it.
These questions are kind of random, general interest, but they are themed. So number one, launched in 2006, this real estate database website was founded by former Microsoft and Expedia employees, often featuring value estimates of celebrity and famous houses such as the Brady Bunch residence.
It's like Zillow, something, right?
Correct. It is Zillow.
Zillow.
Okay.
Zillow.
Huh.
And you can look up like famous houses and how much they're worth. Number two. So this question is inspired by recent Hollywood tabloids. If stag is to deer and bull is to cattle, then what is to cat?
Tom.
Correct! Very good. Tom or Tomcat or Tommycat is the male cat.
Yes. Got it.
Oh, I see.
I also learned that the female cat is called a Molly or Queen.
Huh.
Tom and Molly.
Hmm.
And a group of cats is referred to as a clowder. Not herd, a clowder of cats.
Huh.
Number three. What famous musical show features British comedic actor John Cleese as the voice of God? Chris.
Monty Python Spamalot.
Correct. Lovingly ripped off from the 1975 film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. What company boasts the claim, America's fastest 4G network?
Oh, that's Verizon claims it, at least.
Correct. Number five. So the world-famous Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain, is located in what country?
Oh. Tanzania?
Yes!
Yeah!
Nice. Wow!
Wow, I'm impressed too. I can't believe I knew.
Good job, Colin Brain.
Number six. I'm going to do a little bit of dramatic reading. So this is a famous motto from a very famous and popular show. And you have to identify the show. And I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it. Prepare for trouble. Make it double. To protect the world from devastation. To unite all people within our nations. To denounce the evil of truth and love. To extend our reach to the stars above. Jesse, James, Team Rocket, blast in of at speed of light. Surrender now or prepare to fight. Meow. That's right.
Pokemon.
Correct.
This theme had better be so unifying and so perfect.
Better be worth
Chris
it.
Chris is so upset that he had to say Pokemon.
Pokemon. It's very popular. Very popular show.
No doubt about that.
Okay, number 7. What unit of distance in astronomy was used incorrectly as a unit of time by a famous fictional pilot who was bragging about his ship?
That would be the parsec.
Correct. Han Solo.
Solo.
What was his claim?
Did the Kessel run? The Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs, I believe, is the unit. Someone
sounds right
me
to me.
Wrong,
yeah,
right?
But the parsec is distance.
It's so funny. Like, just in the Star Wars fan universe, the gyrations that people have gone through to try and justify, oh, no, he wasn't wrong. He really meant...
Yeah. There's some people like, oh, he actually made a mistake because he was bragging. Yeah, well, we'll let the fans battle that one out. All right, last question. Fighting game character Zangief was initially called Vodka Gobalski during the concept phase. What company does Zangief belong to?
We're all looking at Chris.
What company?
Yeah, company. Okay, what game does Zangief belong to?
Oh. He was, of course, a character in Street Fighter 2. Yeah.
Yes, and what company makes Street Fighter?
Okay, Capcom.
Correct. Okay. It is right. Capcom. Mm. And the funny thing about this tidbit is I found this and I was trying to double check and fact check this. And it linked me, I was digging around the internet, it linked me to an article that you wrote, Chris. Yes. So I use you as a source.
We're not about citing ourselves.
And actually,
if anything, I would say you would have to double check that.
Because it's you. Funny thing about the name Zangief, it's actually not possible to have the name Zangief in the Russian language.
Well, I believe it's supposed Zangief. To be pronounced like Zangief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the F sound. It's not F.
So wait, you're telling me that game was not an accurate depiction of street fighting around the world? I don't know what to believe in anymore.
The theme. One unifying theme to all of these answers. And they seem random, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all portmanteau words.
That's what I thought it was
going to
be. You should have asked. I would have gotten one of your stupid questions.
You blew the one I was going to get.
So Zillow is a portmanteau of zillions and pillows.
Oh.
Huh.
Like zillions of dollar or zillions of data and pillows because they're houses. Tomcat, of course, very famous portmanteau of...
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
I see.
And Spam-a-Lot.
Yes.
Spam and Camelot.
Indeed.
Verizon is a portmanteau of Veritas, which is the Latin word for truth, and Horizon.
Right.
Tanzania is actually very interesting, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce this correctly.
So it was, I know one of the countries, right? It was essentially formed of Tanganyika was one of the countries, and I forget the other country.
Zanzibar.
Oh, okay.
African Republic, yep.
Ah.
Of course, Pokemon is Pocket Monsters. And Parsec is Parallax of 1 second.
Oh,
and
I didn't think I knew that. To
be really technical, one actual parsec is 3.26 light years, which is about 30.9 trillion kilometers, or if you're American and use our stupid system, it is 19.2 trillion miles. Do you know what Capcom stands for?
It stands for Capsule Computing, or Capsule Computer.
Yes!
Oh, I did not know that.
Coined by the company to describe arcade machines.
Huh.
And not to be confused...
It is a capsule computer.
Not to be confused with personal computers. Very good!
Very good.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
Okay, so I call this quiz Shake Your Groove Thing. I'm looking for the names of dance moves.
Got it.
So I'll give you a little bit. I think you guys are going to be able to do it.
As long as we don't have to actually perform the move.
Well, too bad it's not a video podcast.
Yes, it's too bad.
So this dance rose to popularity in the U.S. in the 1920s. It was also featured as the dance competition in the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
Is it Lindy Hop?
No.
Charleston.
Yes, it's the Charleston.
Nah, sure.
Okay, so as a bonus question for this, young women would dance the Charlestons at speakeasies during the Prohibition. What's the term for a young Western woman in the 20s who wore short skirts, bobbed their hair, and listened to jazz? Chris's went on the longest.
A flapper?
Yes.
Okay,
so this dance evolved in Harlem in the 1920s and 30s. It existed before under a slightly different name, but it was renamed to what we know now after Charles Lindbergh's famous cross-Atlantic flight.
Is it the Lindy Hop?
Yes. Okay,
and it's Twin Peaks.
And as a bonus question, Lindbergh left from Roosevelt Field in Long Island, New York, and flew to what European city?
Was it Paris?
Yes.
So what was the Lindy Hop called before? Do you know?
It was called the Hop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They named it after Lindbergh's Hop Across the Atlantic. Nah. So it was all jazzy.
So patriotic.
Yeah. It was the spirit of the times. It was pretty exciting for everybody. So,
oh, yeah. 2.0. Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this dance emerged in the early 90s. It was named for a cartoon character from a movie.
What?
The Roger Rabbit?
Yes.
Oh.
Bonus question. Who voiced Roger Rabbit in the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Was Charles Fleischer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, who's that?
He was
the voice of Roger Rabbit.
He was a stand-up comedian and also did a lot of voiceover work. Still does, I believe.
This dance originated in the mid-80s and was performed by Janet Jackson in her Rhythm Nation video. It was also performed by MC Hammer, Milli Vanilli, and Vanilla Ice.
The Running Man?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes. At this point, I'm basically just going down the list of 90s dances that I know.
Right. In this line dance, you can tell your ma I moved to Arkansas, or you can tell your dog to bite my leg.
That is, in fact, the Achy Breaky.
Yes.
That's also a line dance?
Well, yeah. I mean, they have a line dance for the song.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay, so here's another line dance. This is a four-wall line dance. It was originally choreographed in 1976 by Rick Silver, and it was a funk hip-hop group dance, but now there's variations of it, including the cowboy boogie and the cowboy motion.
I'm going to say the electric slide.
Yes.
Why do you guys know this?
Because we've been to weddings.
Yeah. So here's a wedding dance, another wedding dance.
All right, yes, okay.
Perfect. You see how I was thinking? I was just like riffing.
You're a free associate, yes.
So this dance is strongly associated with the Swiss Oompa song and is a perennial favorite at weddings. It has four basic steps that are performed repeatedly as the song speeds up until it suddenly stops.
Chris can get it.
It's the... dance.
Yes, the chicken dance.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. That song. Okay. This dance is from Para, Brazil. Its name actually means strong slap or hit in Portuguese.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's also been called the forbidden dance.
Oh.
La bamba.
No.
No. Lambada.
The lambada.
Lambada. So this form of dancing is pretty new, well, newish, and it originated in Oakland, California. And it's an improvisational form of dance that includes elements of popping, locking, and miming. Its name is an acronym for taking up room on the floor. And if you haven't seen the YouTube videos of it, you need to YouTube it. It's pretty awesome.
I don't know.
Is it hyphy?
Okay, I'll say it again.
The acronym of taking up room on the floor?
Yeah.
Trough? Trough?
Taking up...
Trough? Turfing.
Yes.
Oh, I've heard that. I didn't know that's where it came from.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh.
It is very interesting. It's kind of smooth and
Never heard of it.
I'm from Oakland. I saw the YouTube video of it. I was like, I think that's in Oakland. I know that street. I'm so excited.
Love it.
It's really hypnotic. And so there you go.
Very good.
Nice.
So as we discussed in the bathroom episode recently, I spent some time in Japan. What I am going to do is, we've had puzzles loosely based around this theme before, but I'm going to tell you the exact meaning of the characters in Japanese that make up the word that's passed into English, and you're going to tell me the word.
Literal translation.
Exactly. So if I were to, I'm gonna get this one out of the way, because we all know this, if I were to say empty orchestra, you would say
karaoke.
Exactly. All of these words are in the official Scrabble dictionary.
Okay.
These words are playable in an English language game of Scrabble.
Okay.
I like that. Okay. Qualification.
Here we go. Start you off easy. Folded paper. Colin.
Origami. I think Karen did buzz in first.
Karen, what's the answer?
Origami.
There you go. Fire bowl. Dana.
Oh, hibachi?
Hibachi. Yes. Yeah. Strength vehicle. Originally, the word was actually shortened from human strength vehicle.
Human.
As in a vehicle powered by the strength of a human being. Oh.
Rickshaw?
Yes.
What?
Wow. Rickshaw is from Japanese.
It's
this word was introduced from Japanese to the
U.S. How do you pronounce it in Japanese?
Biki is strength and sha is vehicle.
Oh.
Rickshaw.
Human rickshaw. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, human powered, right.
Art person. Person involved in the arts.
Sensei.
No.
I was thinking that too, but yeah.
Sensei actually comes from, and that is in fact an English word that I didn't want to use in this. It's a little bit tough because sen means like before and sei means life. So it's like the person, you know, who came before you in life, that sort of thing.
Geisha.
Yes. Means literally a person of the arts.
Okay.
Very beautiful.
Does it have to be a woman of the arts or it could be a man?
I don't think there are any male geisha. Right, yeah, but the word has no female connotations.
Okay.
Yeah,
but that was part of being a geisha or a courtesan was being well-rounded and knowing
about absolutely.
Arts and
all that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Super
cultured. Yeah. Geisha were not necessarily prostitutes.
Right.
They were hired entertainment because they were good at the shamisen. And mm-hmm. they were skilled at conversation mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Worldly. Mm-hmm.
Divine wind.
Tsunami?
Yeah. No.
No, a typhoon.
No.
Oh,
also,
what is it?
No.
Dang it.
Divine wind.
Oh, we've talked about this. We've had this before.
This one is pretty common. The word for wind in Japanese is kaze.
Kamikaze.
Oh, kamikaze. Yes. Kamikaze.
That's right.
That
we talked
so
about it.
Beautiful.
God wind. Team leader.
Oh, is it honcho?
It is! Nice. It is! Honcho is Japanese for the team leader. A thing to wear. Dana.
Kimono?
Yes. Kimono just means a thing that you wear.
Ah.
Which makes sense because that was just what everybody wore.
Huh.
Finger pressure.
Shiatsu?
Yes,
oh,
shiatsu.
Oh, good one.
Great lord. Could mean great lord, great prince, great person. Typically used these days to describe a business person. Or a magnate.
Is it tycoon?
It is!
Oh,
tycoon
nice.
Comes from Japanese.
Get out of town!
Terrence mine is that. Okay, how about this one? A little bit.
Scotch. Yeah, is it?
I want to... Iota, but I think that's Greek.
Colin.
Itty bitty?
No.
Bonsai.
No. That actually, I believe that means tray gardening or something to that effect. Yeah. Guys, the answer, which you whispered to yourselves, is skosh.
Oh. What?
It comes from the Japanese word skoshi, which means a little bit.
People
brought it back from World War II because that was one of the words
learned. Just a skosh.
Yeah, just a skosh. Also, which became later, scooch. Like, so when you're saying, hey, can you scooch over a little bit, you are speaking Japanese.
I think I always
you're also being
was
redundant,
like,
but yeah.
I think I always thought it was like Yiddish or Hebrew or some origin, a little skosh. Yeah.
Skosh in Japanese.
Comes from
mind blown.
In the dictionary, S-K-O-S-H.
That is really good.
Oh, neat.
I love the loan words. I love the hidden loan words.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Honcho, tycoon, typhoon, skosh. You don't know that those actually came from Japanese to the extent that you realize, like, kabuki, you
right,
know, or
shiatsu. Right, right. And I bet a lot of them came over after the 40s, too.
After the
World
occupation
War
in,
yeah,
in Japan,
right,
we had
yeah.
American soldiers there for yeah. years upon years, just picking up little words that they would use, you know, when they were, yeah. like, drinking with
that
girls.
That is fascinating.
That's really good.
I'm trying so hard not to say, oh.
nuts.
Right.
All right, well, we had a little dancing earlier, so I'll try and tie it back up here with a little music.
Oh.
With the return
Yay.
Of a popular skit called
Crazy Robot Computer Thingy.
If you didn't hear the first time we did this in the last All Quiz episode, I have set up my computer to read opening lines of famous songs in a very automated computer voice. And your job is
in
to...
an old school,
automated
yeah. computer voice.
I specifically
voice.
Found a low quality, sort of feels like a 90s era computer voice, like mm-hmm. what you would imagine in the movies from that era. It's going to speak the first line. You guys tell me the song and artist if you can.
Okay.
All right. We'll start here with a somewhat easy one just to get you guys a sense of how we're doing this here.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon, 2 minutes too late.
Yeah. Chris.
Well, that's Alanis Morissette's Ironic.
That is Alanis Morissette's Ironic.
Too late.
Yeah. Too late in Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Going back a few years for this one.
Finish with my woman, cause she couldn't help me with my mind. People think I'm insane because I am drowning all the time.
Chris?
Is that, it's Black Sabbath, but
yes.
it's Paranoid?
It is Paranoid, it is. All right, next one here.
A lonely mother gazing out of her window, staring Aww. At the sun that she just can't touch. If at any time he's in a jam, she'll be by his side, but he doesn't realize he hurts her so much.
don't chase
waterfalls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
You'll see.
That was for both Karen and Dana. I wanted to give you
Thank
guys
you.
A yes.
Thank you. I thought it was going to be for Chris. It was going to be Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Instrumental.
And
yeah. like,
it is so funny how stripping away all anything that could possibly be construed as musical from some of these songs makes them
it
unrecognizable.
Does. Even ones that we've heard a million times.
I mean, for me now, I'm just hoping that it rhymes.
Right.
And then trying to find the rhyming pairs.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
why I have to rule some of these out. Yeah. Hmm. All right, here we go. Here's a classic.
Okay.
I've been really trying, baby. Trying to hold back these feelings for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, come on. Oh, come on.
Baby.
I couldn't tell if you got that one first.
Let's get it on.
Yes, let's get
baby.
It on.
Hey, Marvin.
And who's
Marvin
the...
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, baby. Come on. And that's one of those, like, you hear like the first note of that song instantly, but yeah.
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 Okay, here we go. Another classic, different genre. I'll give you a little bit of a clue there.
I hear the train a coming. It's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
Chris.
That is Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues.
It is. Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues.
Thank you.
Which actually is kind of, it's very close to how he sings it in the song.
yeah.
It's sort of his his flat delivery.
Robot really pulls it out sometimes.
Last one here, last one. And I think any of the three of you guys can get this one.
I've had a little bit too much. All of the people start to rush. A dizzy twister dance. Can't find my drink or man. Where are my keys? I lost my phone.
Just Dance!
It is Just
Lady
Dance.
Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga's
she
Just Dance.
Dance.
Can't find my drink yeah. or man.
Can you play that again for
yeah.
us?
Yeah,
there
we go.
Fine.
One
yeah.
more time. That one is too good not to hear again.
Yeah.
I've had a little bit too much. All of the people start to rush. A dizzy twister dance. Can't find my drink or man. Where are my keys? I lost my phone.
I lost.
That's the most. He said he got such a sad
witness statement.
Yes, then officer, I lost my phone.
Where are my keys? I lost my phone.
All right. Well, well done, guys. Well done. Another good round of computer voice
robot.
Thanks, robot.
We should name him. He should be Brian.
Listeners, feel free to write into gjb.podcast@gmail.com with your suggestions for what we should name.
Well, if this were like an 80s cartoon, it would be Brian, like B.R.I.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, please.
What does Brian stand for?
Good job,
exactly.
Brian.
Yes.
A backronym.
Please, please backronym Brian or possibly Brain the Robot if it works. Yeah. We will give special consideration to anything that's a good backronym of Brian or Brain.
Absolutely.
All right, and that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you had fun. We got robot back. We got some dancing. You can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks.
Later. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.